That's right.
You know, so it's a
That's
great
right.
place to start.
Yeah.
Did you have any other closing comments you want to mention to folks about why they should participate and why they should maybe check out queer film in general?
Well, I also wanted to say that, this membership is very exciting for us, and we hope that a lot of youth take advantage, and we hope to see a lot of youth at our Youth Day screening and also throughout the festival. And I also wanted to point out that for those that are not in the Toronto area, Crave, we have a shelf, an inside out shelf on Crave that we have sort of programmed past festival programming on that shelf. So if there is someone who's not in the Toronto area but wants to access our year-round programming, they can go on Crave and there's an actual like inside out shelf that they can check out with past selections. But
Excellent.
we're really looking forward to this festival this year, and we're really looking forward to welcoming our youth members this year.
Well, I will be in between watching the season finale of Traitors.
Oh
And Drag
yeah.
Race, of course. I
Right.
will also take a look at their Inside Out shelf on Crave.
Absolutely.
Jeff, thank you so much. And more importantly, I want to thank you and the folks at Inside Out for making this opportunity truly accessible to young folks under 25 in the GTA who can gather up and do this. And I hope that by covering this, we inspire other queer film festivals around the country to do the same. So thank you again.
Absolutely. No problem. I just want to mention one more thing. If you want to go to insideout.ca/memberships to read more about our youth membership and all other levels, go there. And also be sure to subscribe to our Inside Out newsletter on insideout.ca for all upcoming festival and event information.
It's how I found out about
Yeah.
it. So definitely worthwhile. All right, Jeff, we'll be
Okay,
back
thank you.
just after this. Hello and welcome back to Can Queer. That was Ladybird, What's Wrong by RVC Engel. And we had the interview with the Inside Out Festival just before that. I actually was wrong. We didn't hear Stained with the Light earlier. We actually heard Fever Dream by Julia Dales. That was the first track. And then we just heard, after that interview, Ladybird, What's Wrong by RVC Engel. The next story, I want to clarify as well that it was a bit of a question as to who was sponsoring this great youth initiative with the Inside Out Film Festival. RBC, I believe, the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC has, I believe, come on and confirmed as not only the festival's ongoing sponsor, which is fantastic, but they are big fans of supporting the youth film day that the festival does. You know, I appreciate when banks put their money into culture as opposed to fossil fuels, but, you know, it's always always a great thing. Now, Sebastian, this next story, it's how do I break this story without... Okay.
It's okay. So there is
a gentleman who has been sent to prison.
Yes.
Or in 2022,
right.
He effectively tricked some individuals into inappropriate behavior, is how I'm going to phrase it. He's now been sentenced to 28 months, so 14 months for each count. So right. This gentleman has been charged with two cases of sexual assault. He was convicted of those crimes. But what's really interesting about this, which is why I kind of wanted to mention it, the gentleman was a gay man, and effectively, you know, they took catfishing to really an extreme level. And I really created the impression with the victims that this man was in fact a lovely lady, but was very shy, very didn't want to be seen. So there was a sheet, there was a hole in said sheet. I'm not providing any more details than that. Folks can surmise as they would like. But the point is, at least one of the men who were tricked could tell the difference with what was going on behind the smoke screen, as it were, and called them out. But the real issue here is you can't trick somebody into having sex because it has to be consenting.
Yes.
And it has to be informed consent.
Warm consent.
Be aware.
You have to know what you're getting into, yeah.
Exactly. You need to be, it needs to be ongoing. People can change their mind during the course of doing an activity. And, you know, ideally safe as well. And this clearly was not that, because it's hard to fully consent to something when you're being misled and tricked into a particular act. So, yes, this gentleman was sentenced to 28 months in prison as a result of these acts. Now, the victims are under publication ban. We obviously can't dive into it. But the reason why I wanted to mention this, Sebastian, it's definitely a little salacious. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
It's a titillating tale. But if two men came forward and were related in the court case, what do you think the odds are on it only being those two men that were hoodwinked with the curtain and a hole?
Oh, there was that one case from a couple of years ago in London when there was a fella who drugged and sexually assaulted. I think they counted... It was 30 or 40 people that they could track down because
you're referring to London, UK.
Yes. Yes.
And he was Britain's most prolific serial rapist. Yeah. Yes. It was dozens and dozens and dozens of men.
And he kept trophies from all of them. He stole from them and kept trophies. So from that, they figured they could locate quite a few people. And then there's other things where they weren't sure if it was trophies or just his own possessions. So it was sort of like, it was like between 30 and 200 or something like that. Like they really had a variable on that one. It was, you know, 30 plus X people that he had sexually assaulted. And it was pretty prolific. Unfortunately, these things happen, and that doesn't make it acceptable by any means. So, I mean, when you say if there was two, or were there probably more, unless they caught this fella out west right at the start of him doing this, then maybe there's just two. But yeah, I know what you're hinting at. There might be more. If somebody's willing to do this twice, they're willing to do it a third time at least.
Yeah, yeah. If they were caught by two, there was more likely more than that.
Yeah.
And I think that my concern here, you know, we've been talking about crime for a long time. Do you remember way back when Grindr was being used way back, it happens all the time. Couldn't find still the right adjective.
Yeah.
When men were tricked into what they thought would be a good fun time. And in fact, they were robbed blind. In some countries, they've been beaten. And in a couple of isolated cases, I think there were a couple of cases in New York where they were also killed. Mm-hmm. It's not great. And I was thinking about when I worked with the Oral Police Service, and there was a case of, and now this is going to throw away, this is a throwback, Craigslist. Do you remember
when
Craigslist was the M for M personals?
Oh, yes.
But yeah, a lot of men had their wallets stolen. And the issue that the police had at the time was you can't really build a case. You can't identify a pattern. You can't find those leads to track down the perpetrator of this when only one person comes forward. Or, you know, they come forward, but they don't want to give a lot of information, or they would just rather not talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's that shame. It's that silence. It's that it's better if this just never happened. Not only is that very damaging to the men themselves, but to bury that and to live with that shame.
Yeah, it's it damages the justice system to a degree.
Yeah, enables the crime to continue happening for sure.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that they found very quickly with the case in London, was that the serial assaulter there specifically targeted straight men. And when they actually started asking around about the case, they got a lot of anonymous tips, but not a lot of people were willing to step forward. They weren't willing to actually say, "I am a heterosexual man who was taken home and sexually assaulted by not only a gay man, but a very small gay man as well," that it was completely coercive and involved drugs, basically. And they were very embarrassed about it, and they did not want their name attached to the case. And there was a few people that they could get, you know, under anonymity, that they would give their testimony, but they were not willing to appear in court. So it was a very difficult case to do. And I'm willing to bet that with this case, this more recent case at West, there probably are more people. And if they do go on the news and say, you know, we're looking for more victims, if you have any information, please step forward, there's probably going to be a dozen people who look at that and go, no, I'm not. That was me, but I'm not going to step forward because I don't want my name attached to this. That is a serious problem, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Well, I sincerely hope that if anyone else here had a similar run-in with Angela, that they contact the police. But more importantly, speak to somebody. It doesn't have to be the authorities. If you believe that a sexual encounter was not informed, was not full and ongoing with the consent, and, you know, wasn't as safe as you thought it would be, then, yeah, definitely talk to somebody. It is utterly important. And remember, you cannot trick somebody. It has to be safe, sane, and consensual. Now, we don't usually talk about a lot of American news, but a trans sort of elder, I suppose, in the States recently passed away. Cecilia Gentili in New York is considered to be a bit of a godmother of trans women, very much a leader in the community there. And there was a funeral at the St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. Now, this funeral was packed
Okay.
for this random trans woman who was in her late 50s, who passed away. 1,400 mourners showed up to the funeral to pay their respects. Turns out the people who are most unhappy with it is actually the Archdiocese.
Okay.
Yeah, it turns out the Catholic Church itself is less than impressed. First of all, this is the biggest number of people they've had there since Easter. Like, this is it drew a crowd. It was supposed to be a routine event just for a funeral. But apparently the behavior of some of the mourners was less than ideal. It was considered a mockery of the Christian faith. It's been called a revolting, a desecration of the church.
Okay.
The fact that this trans woman was buried there, she may have been referred to as the Queen of the Whores, and that is a direct quote here. Mother of all, sorry, not Queen of, Mother of all, and that may have led to some eyebrows raised. But comments like that was too much for the Archdiocese of New York City, and they have cried foul of it. In completely unrelated news, the Vatican has handed down its first ever, you heard that correctly, first time ever conviction for sexual abuse on its own grounds. So in the last 2,000 years, they've only convicted one person, and that was a former student at a seminary. He had been tried in non-Vatican court and was found not guilty. This is the first time ever that the Vatican court has found somebody guilty, and it was for corrupting a minor, 2 years and 6 months after prison sentence from that. But yeah, no, in fact, the Pope himself also last week decried hypocrisy in the Catholic Church, specifically with how LGBT folks are treated. And I believe he was speaking about blessings for same-sex couples in particular. Now, Seb, do you have any other top news of the week?
Well, I mean, one of the unfortunate ones that I found was that Saint Vincent and the Grenadines has upheld a law that criminalizes gay sex between men. I think they specify between men. A lot of these countries, actually, that when they do have a legal ban on same-sex sex, they tend to specifically name men. No, it does not specify. Yeah, so it's basically just all same-sex interactions of that type are still illegal in Saint Vincent and the Grenadines. Now, if you remember the sort of ongoing history of this, there have been quite a few Caribbean countries that have been changing these laws. Many of them said they only implemented the laws in the first place due to colonialism, and that the colonial homelands back in usually around the 1880s, between sort of 1880 and 1950, because, the Netherlands or France or England or Spain or Portugal enacted anti-gay laws that a lot of these Caribbean islands sort of followed suit. And recently, a lot of them have been sort of voting them down, saying, wait, why are these still in the books? So it is kind of bizarre. I don't know what reason. I have not been able to actually found what the legal argument for enforcing it is. I don't think there is a legal argument for enforcing it if
Well,
you're
there
using.
must be they must have their own reasons. I will maybe pivot to some good news
Okay.
because we do follow that. On the 15th of February, very recently, day after Valentine's Day, the Parliament of Greece approved a bill by 176 votes to 76, essentially legalizing same-sex marriage and adoption. Now, surrogacy, same-sex surrogacy is still not an option in Greece. However, they can now adopt and they can have surrogacy outside of Greece. And particularly, they can have marriage. Now, Greece is a, it has the Greek Orthodox Church, has a powerful role in Greek society. So the role of the Greek Orthodox Church and the fact that this law, you know, legalizing gay marriage even happened at all is considered to be a really significant success in Greece, for sure.
This makes them, by the way, because I was also aware of this story, this makes them the 15th member of the EU to pass laws of this type.
Absolutely. Now,
27 countries in the EU, by the way. So they're it's really weird. Like we associate Europe with being pretty liberal about this sort of thing. But the fact that only half the countries have passed same-sex unions, I think, is kind of telling. Some of them have a same-sex union of some type, but don't allow you to call it marriage. And some of them have whatever you want to call it. We'll fill out the paperwork. It's all right. So I think that's the category that Greece has fallen into, where they're willing to accept same, if they have some kind of a secular union of some kind as well as marriage. I think they cover both of them.
Sticking with some more good news, the first lesbian couple have had their marriage license recognized by the Nepalese government. So the government of Nepal recently recognized the first same-sex marriage. There was a ruling not too long ago. This is the first time it has kind of really been sort of actualized. Similarly, the Japanese Supreme Court not that long ago struck down a law that requires trans people to undergo surgery. The first case of someone who was able to change his gender official documents without surgical sterilization has now gone through. So we're seeing, you know, the first couple of cases of that happen as well. All in all, there is some good news. No, there's a lot of not great news, for sure. Like, I'm thinking of, you know, we were talking about Russia there, and we talked about some of the other things happening locally. I nearly forgot. We are keeping an eye on a story in Canada, and that is a coffee shop was defaced with anti-LGBTQ graffiti in Ingersoll, Ontario. I think it's a small town community in Oxford County. It was defaced. I believe they had just some generic pride things up and about, and somebody took serious umbrage with it. It was on thick black matter on the shop window. It was a homophobic message. And they did not appreciate the sticker saying that everybody is welcome. I assume whoever did the graffiti is personally no longer welcome. But how did the cafe in Ingersoll respond? They held a little fundraiser, and they donated the funds to the local pride organization. I hope they were able to clean the marker off the window and go from there. And then, Sebastian, one of the stories that we're going to be looking into over the next couple of weeks, one of the stories that we're going to be covering actually came from the Ottawa Police Service.
Okay.
They recently released the data on their hate crime rates. Now, let's not be flippant here. The number of anti-Semitic hate crimes is astonishing. The number of anti-Semitic hate crimes in Ottawa is really, it's pretty shocking for a town of about 1 million people, 90 reported cases. Yep. In the city. But the anti-gay, I mean, it's the capital, the anti-gay crimes. Now, we're talking about trespassing, vandalism, misdemeanors, where the target, the motivation is hateful. It is awful. 60 plus cases last year in the city of Ottawa. Now, we're going to be diving into that because I have a suspicion that what's happening in Ottawa is quite likely also happening elsewhere. So we will reach out to folks and see if we can flesh out some of the background story on that one as well. But pretty shocking rates of hate crimes in the nation's capital over the past year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that works out to be about one a week, which is for a population this size. I don't know. We could, yeah, we'll look into it. The details matter. This is the kind of thing where the details definitely matter.
All right. We will be playing out with our last track of the day. This is an artist that we are huge fans of, Mandarium, and this is Intruder, the clean version for radio. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. Thank you for listening.
PFLAG Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Did you know that LGBT students hear anti-gay slurs an average of 26 times a day? One out of every four LGBT youth are told to leave home. LGBT youth are more likely to be homeless. 30% of suicides are LGBT. PFLAG is committed to anyone struggling with sexual orientation and gender identity issues. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.